Bannerbox Radio, the fabric of our lives. Hello, folks. Welcome back to Banterbox Radio, episode 22. Look at that. Goodness gracious. I'm your co-host, Thomas Towson. Joining me, of course, oh my goodness, who would have guessed it? Mr. Dan Knight. He's the other co-host.
Yes, I am. That's true. Thank you.
Yeah, that was Embo. So, we are back again this week with more weird news stories and the things that we do where we talk and you listen. What a great exchange.
Well, I don't know if they listen.
Well, I hope
they
may.
They may listen. Some people may just turn it on and just completely do something else. Like maybe they're making a puzzle or something.
Making one, not putting one together, making a puzzle,
creating a puzzle of their own.
So, as I've mentioned, this is episode 22. That's what happens when you take the number 2 and multiply it by 11.
Dose.
And there you go. There's your news. Your math fact for the day.
Because we do those.
That's a thing we've been doing from day one.
Yep.
But most importantly, Dan, are you kidding me? Do you know what today is?
Am I kidding you?
Today is possibly the biggest day in all of American history.
X.
No. Oh. Very different. Today is National Milk Chocolate Day.
Oh!
Yeah. This country was built on the back of milk chocolates.
Of Hershey's.
That's correct. Delicious milk chocolate.
Yeah, well, I like the dark chocolate myself.
I'm actually pretty fond. The older I get, the more I like dark chocolate. What is that? I feel like everyone of an older age, not that I am anywhere close to an older age, but people of an older age tend to like dark chocolate more. Is it that you get too sensitive to the sweetness of the milk chocolate?
Maybe. Hmm. Well, I mean, it's essentially better for you. It's, I mean, it's not something you should be eating regularly, but it's better for you in comparison to milk chocolate.
This is true.
It's less sweet, So that's probably why children like it less. But we're not here to celebrate dark chocolate.
We're here to celebrate milk chocolate. Although this is going to be starting off our brand new show, which is the Chocolate Podcast. Dan, I want to mention that now, that we're definitely not doing that show. Because that's a terrible idea.
You announced it and then you rescinded it almost immediately.
Immediately. So, before we jump in today.
Great.
I've done this before. I've done this numerous times before. But I'm going to do it again.
Oh, God. Here it comes.
I just want to take a second to give a quick shout out to our absolute number one supporter and guy that keeps us going with his motivation.
Jesus?
Jesus Christ. Jesus H. Christ. The yes. H stands for Hoopastank. No, I do want to give a quick shout out to Brett Parker, who has, from the very beginning, even those of you who might not remember the original Bannerbox Radio, the very original, he stayed.
Sure.
You know what? He's a swell feller. Best feller this side of the Mississippi. But, you know what would make him and our listeners much happier?
If you stopped rambling?
If I stopped rambling and we just started doing the news.
Okay.
Let's just do the news.
All right. Yeah.
Nope. Hate it. Scrap it. Next.
All right. Next one. All right. The Nevermind Bar is fighting back negative Yelp and Urban Spoon reviews and turning them into entertainment.
Ooh, you know, you got to trust those Yelp reviews above everything else.
I honestly don't know where this place is. I tried looking it up. I don't know where Nevermind Bar is. There's a Nevermind restaurant that's in Florida. But
is there a Nevermind
the
Bar?
Is there a Neverland Ranch?
Neverland. Never.
This is where... So the Neverland Bar, where Peter Pan is the bartender, is a different bar. It's not this one.
Uh-huh.
This is the Nevermind.
This is, of course, ebbing into our new Disney podcast.
No, I can't do that. But anyway, yeah. So with an influx of restaurateurs at the mercy of many dickish people looking to get...
Hey, cool it with the language.
I'm sorry.
All right? We have no children listening to this show.
of wienery ish people. Is that better?
You know what? I'll allow it.
People of the wiener variety.
It is PG-13 now.
And they're, you know, threatening to give people bad reviews for the sake of free appetizers. It's refreshing to see the restaurant people, staff, fighting back, you know?
No, I don't know.
You don't know. Are you unfamiliar with this? This thing that's been happening in the past couple years?
Never heard of it.
Never.
No. Really, just, I think you're making it up.
I'm pretty sure we've had conversations and you know about what? This topic.
You really shouldn't be spreading false information on this show, which is a beacon of truth and...
And justice. And the American way.
That's correct.
Yeah, no, that... So anyway, yeah, staff took to the online world to find negative comments posted by the general public and in turn created a poster out of them that they put in the bar. And so they had comments like overrated, the beer was too cold, very untraditional, barbecue was sold out, no empty seats, there was one, it's not the Ritz, or this is a good one. Guy behind the bar needs a shave.
That's quality commentary.
Yeah, I hated my experience here because that man could have groomed himself better. Unless you're complaining that there's stubble in your drinks, you really have nothing to comment on.
Or if they're like really smelly.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, oh, Grizzly Adams was serving me my beer and he was sticking his hairy fingers in it and I didn't like it.
Well, some people pay extra
for that treatment. There are specific bars you can go to for that. But anyway, yeah, the poster had the tagline at the bottom, come see why 7% of people don't like us, which I thought was pretty funny.
Great. That sounds like a real sassy restaurant.
Yeah, real sassy and classy.
Ooh, and...
Sassafrassy.
Something. Great.
But there's that. So, I've heard a lot of things about people, like, threatening restaurants with bad Yelp reviews or whatever, just to get a little bit more out of...
Do people use Yelp? Is that a real thing?
Like, do they use it anymore?
Yeah. I feel like that you're totally right. That still does exist, where people threaten them with bad Yelp reviews. Mm. I haven't been on Yelp in... ever.
In ever, Jerry. Ever.
Yeah.
I think these ones were actually from Urban Spoon, which is another website I don't really frequent.
You know what's the best and most reliable way to find out if you like a restaurant?
Ask a friend.
Go to it.
Oh.
Get something. And then
feed it to your dog.
Yeah, there you go. Don't do that.
No?
I don't know. Make sure it's dog safe. I don't know. Anyway.
Is this dog safe? I don't know what you mean by that.
Okay, so moving on. Moving to the second. And to the rhythm. Excuse me. Police say a man okay.
He did what now?
He sneaked. Is it sneaked? Is it snuck? Snook?
Snook is definitely not one.
Definitely
of them.
Snook.
No.
I'm gonna go. Okay. Police say a man snook into a central New Jersey home and hid under a bed in a spare room for 3 days before the homeowner realized what had happened. Spotswood police said Jason Hubbard was charged with burglary in the incident, which occurred in May but wasn't made public until this week.
Oh,
that's dedication. He was under a bed for 3 days. Did he come out ever to get food, to use the restroom? What did he do?
I don't know. Was he? That was like Kevin McAllister in Home Alone. You
yeah.
know? And he got frightened. But this guy broke into a house.
And did it. He just really loves the underneath of beds. The underside of beds.
He wants to be, he's training to become a boogeyman.
That's true. Boot camp.
Boogeyman boot camp.
New series on TLC.
That is genuinely believable.
So he's also charged with theft of services because he allegedly charged his four cell phones.
Under the bed?
In an electrical outlet under the bed. Now, here's the real question. What did he need the phones for during that period?
Yeah.
And why does he have four?
Yeah.
Why would one man need four cell phones?
I'm imagining an outlet that's in the floor. Is that not accurate?
I don't know. It could be. It just said it was underneath the bed. It could have just been a low down
wall.
Yeah,
a low outlet. Yeah.
You know.
That probably makes more sense. But yeah, why four cell phones?
Why four cell phones? That's That's exactly three too many.
Maybe he doesn't get good service under the bed.
So he has one for each carrier.
Yes.
To really
make sure that I, because he's like, you know what? I'm spending a week, you know, a 3-day weekend under this bed, and right. I've got to make some, you know, I've got a job. I got business calls I got to make.
Soon he's going to be the boogeyman. That's going to be tying up all of his time. He's going to get calls left and right.
I'm going on this reality TV show starring Willem Dafoe. He's the host of.
I thought you were going to say Will Wheaton.
No. Willem Dafoe is definitely he would be the host of that.
Okay, so he's getting charged with theft of services because he charged his cell phones and he stole electricity. Whatever.
That's kind of lame.
It is. Authorities say Hubbard entered the home May 7th when the homeowner took out the garbage. He stayed in the spare bedroom until the homeowner heard a noise in the room and spotted Hubbard. Hubbard remained jailed Wednesday on $50,000 bail.
Wow.
His age and hometown have not been released, and no one knows if he has an attorney. So, he's building a lucrative career. You know what? I honestly respect the man. He's going to be a professional boogeyman.
Yeah.
Parents are going to need that service. You know, their kids fail a test. They really screw up something. You know, they don't do their chores.
Going to need some boogeyman.
Hire the boogeyman from Boogeyman Boot Camp.
Boogeyman Boot Camp.
Boogeymanbootcamp.com. How great would it be if we got a website redirect from boogeymanbootcamp.com that redirected to banterboxradio.com?
I like it.
Great. I won't do that. But
we should just create one.
Yeah, that's true.
Create a fake website.
That seems like a totally good use of our time.
Yeah, and money. You know, it's actually kind of funny. I don't want to get off too far off topic.
Oh, I want you to.
Do you? It's funny because a very similar thing, like a pretty similar thing happened to me and my family, except instead of a man, it was a stray cat.
Oh,
that snuck into
basically
our house.
Basically the same thing.
The garage door was open. I think we were emptying it. I think we were taking the trash out, too. And a cat ended up getting into the house. We don't own any cats. Yeah. So like, half the family is allergic to them. And then the whole family left for vacation. And I was, like, stuck house-sitting. It was just me in the house. And I had a friend stay over. And I think at the time I was working third shift. So I'm like, hey, man, can you drive me to and from work and you can just stay at my house and just pick me up, you know, like early in the morning. He's like, all right, yeah, sure, that's fine. And then he started reporting these weird things that were happening. Like the dog, like our family dog, started like growling and looking up the staircase. He's just like, but he was stuck behind this
definitely
gate.
Definitely ghosts.
Yeah. And he's freaking out because he's hearing things too coming from upstairs. And then finally we come to the, we go up there to figure out what's going on, and there's a cat under my bed, just sitting there under my bed, and I'm like the one who's the most allergic to cats in the family. So that was fun.
Awesome.
So the cat was also training for Boogeyman Boot Camp, is the
really
long
the
and short of that story.
They are the original boot campy.
Boot Camp Boogeyman, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the cat's hosting.
Maybe. Hosted
Willem Dafoe, you're out.
All right, Dan, give me your second article. Let's do it.
Okay.
Get yourself psyched.
Okay. Two employees accidentally leave a large sum of money on a lawn in New Jersey and end up paying for it.
Oh!
Hey, while on their usual stop, where the two men deliver cash into ATMs in the Mahwah, New Jersey area, they left a satchel of $150,000 in cash on the lawn.
That's a lot. That's a lot of dollars.
That's a lot of dosh.
Doll hairs.
Doll hair. Yes, indeed. In a surveillance video, a man is seen exiting his white van and walking over and just picking up the sack and driving away with it. The employees apparently noticed the bag of money was missing after 15 minutes into driving to their next destination.
Uh-huh.
They're like, oh, wait a minute.
I forgot my $150,000 in cash.
A doy.
Home Alone 5.
When they returned, the money was nowhere to be found, and the police are now looking for the suspects. Let's see. The person who took the cash was described by police as a, quote, dark-skinned male wearing a t-shirt and long white athletic shorts with some type of dark stripe down the thigh area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he was a dark-skinned man. So he had a big heavy tan on.
Yep.
Probably. I mean, it was New Jersey, so yep. He's probably one of the cast of Jersey Shore.
Yes.
Probably.
Yep. I mean, GTL.
Yep. So he was probably on his way in between one of those three letters.
You know, somewhere
probably
in between.
Probably after tan, because he was already dark skinned at that point.
Yeah, yeah, so
he was heading over to the laundry, and he was like, "Hey, somebody left their laundry. I'll take it with me to the laundromat."
Yeah.
The sack. Oh, it's money.
It's money. Wow! What crap. A wacky turn of events.
And so apparently, the white van, which appears to be a GMC Savannah, is believed to have pulled into a nearby auto repair business, where the suspect who stole the money also tried to take used tires.
What?
But was asked to stop by employees. So he's
why?
Like, "Well, is this just I guess I could just go down this road and, you know, just steal free things.
They have all this stuff is free. $150,000.
Yeah, you could literally pay for those tires if you wanted to."
Yeah, why?
But I think it's extra funny that I can just picture it in my head. You know, he's like walking over like, "Oh, I'm just going to pick these tires up." Like the employees are like, "Hey man, you can't do that."
Oh, okay.
All right. Which is funny. Like, they didn't call the cops or anything,
yeah.
Which would have put a quick end to this previous theft. But, yeah. So, police said in the news release that they would not name the auto repair business where the tires were stolen.
Of course.
So, we'll never know.
We'll never know. Did they get away with it? Did they get away with the money?
They did.
Oh,
the
nice.
The police are still looking for the suspects.
Yeah, they're never going to find them.
Yeah.
If I had $150,000, it would be so gone.
So gone. I put it in a nice big satchel with the dollar sign written on it.
You know it. It's the only way. Put on a nice black half mask.
Steal from a Subway and hide in an alley.
Yep.
That's what you do.
It's got to be a McDonald's.
Mm.
Definitely.
McDonald's?
It's got to be a McDonald's while in a black and white striped outfit.
And only really steal food items.
Specifically hamburgers.
Yes.
You know what? McDonald's should buy that idea from us.
They should, because that's all original.
Can we talk about how terrible the new Hamburglar is?
Yes, we can.
Have you seen that?
It is terrifying. I don't know what to think about
it. I hate it.
It's more terrifying than trying to figure out what the
and
hell
the
Grimace
commercial.
Is.
And the commercial for
I haven't seen the commercial.
Oh, at the end, there's this mildly erotic, weird... You know how the Hamburglar says, "Robble, robble"?
That's yes, that sounds says. Vaguely familiar.
At the end of the commercial, he whispers, "Robble,
that is weird.
Yeah, it's really unsettling, and I really hate it.
Into, like, Ronald McDonald's ear?
Yeah, I don't even eat Does McDonald's, but it makes me want to doubly not eat McDonald's. Like, go in there and vomit so that more food is coming out of me than going in.
I just imagine, like, I haven't seen this commercial, but I imagine at the very end of the commercial, it's the Hamburglar, like, putting his hand to his mouth and whispering it into Ronald's ear and then kissing it.
That's a much better idea. Okay, you know what?
What?
Holy crap, this was not intended. Speaking of clowns,
huh?
I got a story about clowns.
Oh my god.
Boom.
This one genuinely is a good one.
I've been getting better. I've been getting better with these.
This one was an accident. You can't say you did this on purpose.
Hey, stuff it. At the Rose Hill Cemetery, a bizarre figure dressed in a yellow clown suit and rainbow wig was seen waving to passersby earlier this month.
Did you say at a cemetery?
Yes, that's correct.
Great.
Julia Graham was driving by the historic cemetery with her husband when they saw the clown running towards the main gate around 10 p.m. on a recent night.
10 p.m.?
Yeah.
This is horrifying.
Quote, "When we get closer, we realize it's a clown. Which is super weird," she told the station. this was somebody putting forth a lot of effort and being really weird.
Yeah, I'd say.
The clown eventually noticed the Graham's vehicle and turned toward it slowly, waved at the couple in an unsettling fashion.
My God.
The couple captured the wave on a cell phone before the clown ran off. This video is available online.
Great.
The real identity of the clown is unknown, and cemetery officials said there have been no reports of vandalism, luckily. It's just been guys dressed as... Or people. I can't say guys. People dressed as clowns at late times. Late times.
You're saying there's
cemetery.
More than one person that's doing this?
Well, I'm getting to that. Not there. Not there.
Oh, jeez. This is an epidemic.
I left out a few. I was given a list of places, but I kept a couple of keynote ones.
Wow.
So Chicago police say there have been no other clown sightings in recent weeks, but a small subset of the people seem to get kicks by playing on the creepy clown trope. So people seem to be doing it. Recently, there's only been the one. However, and I actually only include one other story, last October, officials in Bakersville, California, just in one month, in October alone, had to deal with at least 16 reports of people dressed as clowns being armed with machetes and baseball bats.
Oh, Jesus. It's like a gang.
Oh, can you imagine driving by, just driving casually home? It's late. You're like, I don't want to be driving. It's 10 p.m. You drive by a cemetery. And what do you see? A guy running around in the cemetery towards the gate, towards you, from inside the cemetery, towards the gate, as if to leave, dressed as a clown, that then stops and waves at you as you drive by.
I mean, that fills my nightmare meter up all the way.
All the way. It peaks it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm
getting a little bit of pee in my pants just from reading it. You know, there's a little pee dripping.
Good. That might be a plumbing issue.
So, what's the piece of information people should take away from that? Don't ever do it.
Don't go near cemeteries anymore?
That's true.
Because there could be clowns?
And you'll probably get murdered.
By a clown?
By a clown with a machete. Yep. So, that's, I think, the biggest thing you should take away from that story.
I don't have collar phobia, but I feel like if I saw the video...
Phobia? It's, afraid it's of collards?
Yeah, collared greens.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's chlorophobia.
Chlorophobia?
Something like that.
Colonphobia?
Yeah, it's the fear of sphincters.
Yep, you know it. All right,
they scare me.
Dan.
Yes.
Now, very rarely do I know what your articles are, and I don't actually know what's going on with this one, but I know the general theme, and people, you're in for a real treat.
I know very little about it.
Dan, tell me your last article for the week. Hit me with it.
Okay. So, there's this lady named Teresa Rousson of Worksop Knots. I don't know what...
Whoa! The Teresa of Worksop Knots?
Yes.
Wow.
She has apparently found her calling after having a personal bout with tragedy in her life. After losing her son and mother within a five-month period, she began making... babies of her own.
Okay, that's very open-ended.
She's not an earthworm, for the record.
It's not what I was thinking.
She's not a hermaphrodite. She's not capable of making babies by herself.
She's just making babies all over the place.
They're just popping right out.
Wow.
She's not, it's immaculate conceptions. So all those are babies are
Jesus. There's nothing immaculate about that.
No.
Tell me.
So.
How's she making those babies?
She's baking those babies.
Oh, she's baking those, making those babies.
She's baking those bacon babies, if you know what I mean. And I don't think
you do.
I don't even know. Yeah, she was kind of finding herself in a depressive state after losing two close people in her life. Uh-huh. So she started making these, basically making baby dolls, lifelike looking baby dolls.
Which is, you know, a weird thing to do in general.
It's bizarre. It's very bizarre.
Step one is already weird.
This article, for the record, by the way, it's going to walk a very thin line between sad and uncomfortable.
Weird. Yeah.
So bear with us here.
I expect nothing less.
You can find, there is humor in here. You might have to dig a little for it.
It's buried in the real, just deep depression.
In the sad and weird. Because
we promise that you will leave this show today worse off than before you started.
You won't know how you feel. It's going to be that good. So she apparently trained as a nail technician and on her spare time painted porcelain dolls with her mother who had rheumatoid arthritis. That's something that they did together, and her mother couldn't do it anymore because she had the arthritis. So she used that skill and started making these fake babies to deal with her own grief. And after she made the first one, she realized how it made her feel better. Mm-hmm. And so now she's doing it for other parents who've lost babies of their own.
Okay, this is sad so far.
Yeah, some dolls can take...
Yeah,
just agree.
That's correct.
Some dolls can take up to 15,000 hours.
Oh my God.
Or 6 months to perfect and are all baked in the oven at 150 degrees Celsius.
You gotta bake them. Gotta bake them. That's how you get a golden brown baby.
Yeah. I mean, that's how babies are made. Everyone knows that
you bake your babies to get that flaky crust on the outside.
Delicious flaky crust. Prices start from £30, but Teresa charges $350 for her most expensive dolls that have softer skin.
That's not much for 6 months of effort.
Yeah.
Up to 6 months.
But, I mean, so that's like about double. The American prices are about double that. So
you're it's 1.5.
But that's not...
1.5.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad, really. Yeah, you're right. But it can go up to $350 for her most expensive dolls that have softer skin.
I mean, think about that, though. What's half of that? $175, so we got $525 for 6 months of effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She should really
start I'm assuming she's probably doing multiple at a time.
Yeah, I would think, yeah.
Yeah.
She should really start a company, though, if this is, like, booming as much as it is.
I don't know if it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a weird niche.
It is. It's a very specific... basically, the rest of this article is just quotes, and they are weird.
Okay.
All right, so here they come. Teresa said one family bought a doll for their 93-year-old mom so that she had something to take care of, something she could push around her bungalow. She just wanted something in a stroller she could push around. A 93-year-old woman. People treat them like real-life babies. You can't help but want to change their nappies and treat them like a child.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to change a diaper of a fake... I feel like that at that point you're reverting back to being like a five-year-old girl.
It's sad, and we're kind of making fun of it a bit, which is terrible. But at the same time, we can't really comprehend the amount of mental trauma you go through.
I mean, there has to be a lot. And I don't...
This is probably just a way to help people. I mean,
it is.
It's weird. Don't get me wrong. At no point is this not incredibly weird.
Mm.
But I can get it. I get it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Yeah, like, I'm not here to, like...
No, you absolutely are.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm here to point out that it's bizarre.
Yes, very bizarre. How bizarre?
Within the constraints of normality, it definitely falls on the edge.
Of glory. Okay.
At one point, I had 16 of my own reborn dolls. This is what she calls them.
Reborn dolls. Okay, so that implies they were born at one point. Is she actually cooking babies?
Yes. Okay. No. No, she's not.
Taking a baby and she's putting some sort of clay shell over it and rebaking it and rebirthing it.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
I love all my dolls, but occasionally I get more attached to some and find it difficult to let go. Get attached to the dolls I make. Initially, I struggled to let go of the boy dolls because they reminded me of my son, but now I know I'm helping people by giving them a new home. So you know what kind of reminds me of, like, Precious Moments figurines?
Yeah, only life-size, and they
and
look
babies.
Like real.
They look real.
Yeah, uncomfortably real. I did see an image, and they are very real-looking. They're unsettling.
They are. So, yeah, I...
So it's weak. Okay, so let's... This is sad.
In a recap.
It upsets me a bit. It makes me sad. But also, it's very, very, very... very weird.
Yeah.
And that's why it's in this. That's why it was included.
So go buy one.
Please. And then there you go.
And then take pictures of you changing its diapers and
it's
things.
It's nappy.
I'm sorry, nappy.
Nappy, that's correct. Anything else on that one?
Or no,
have we
depressed
people enough?
I feel like I have.
Okay, I think we've really
people are
lowered
adequately
the
crushed.
Mood.
Yeah.
Let's bring it back up. Let's talk about a lady
of the night?
No, but sort of.
Oh, good.
Yeah, completely different meaning.
She's of the day.
Yes, that's correct. No. So Blut Katzen,
oh, good.
28, is a self-proclaimed black swan, a person who willingly lets people who claim to be vampires suck her blood. Yeah. In fact, her name is the German term for blood kittens. Her current partner is Michael Wachmiel, 43, a Houston-based incense artist, whom she met 2 years ago.
in... I'm sorry.
Yes, that also caught me and is why I included it. What does it take? Okay, no insult. If there is someone within the reach of my voice who is an incense artist, what do you do? What is that job?
That is... you.
Do you make smells? Is that what you're doing? Basically, you, like cologne artists make fancy smelling... yeah, sure, why not? But is that what you do as an incense artist? Do you come up with unique smells for your incense?
I feel like all incense smells the same to me. Yeah. It all smells like burning...
patchouli.
Yeah, burning patchouli.
Yeah. I don't mind it, though. I kind of like that hippie smell. I actually own incense,
and I
do enjoy them.
They should make one type of incense that's just called masking the pot, because that's all it's for.
That's what... I think that's what most of them are for, yeah.
Yes, it's for masking
at least
the weed
around
smell.
Here, anyway. You know, they have a long... historical significance for a lot of different cultures. But anyway, doesn't matter. This is like such the job that a big giant air quotes vampire would have.
An incense?
It's just such a nonsense. I'm sorry. You know what? Whatever. Anyway.
Can I just stop you just for 1 second? It is so easy to mix up incense with another word.
Yes.
And that would make that job very different.
Very, very different.
But no equally, but no less
important.
Not important. No less daunting of a task.
I see. Yes. So the pair began their connection 2 years ago at a vampire ball in Houston.
Oh, good.
And have a few blood sucking sessions a year.
Mm.
Katchen says, quote, "You have to have a very strong connection to the person who is feeding off you. Michael and I have a very intimate relationship, and I trust him completely. Also, I'm crazy.
Also, I have bloodborne illnesses."
She goes on to say, "I have specific tools that draw the blood, and Michael will drink it from my body. Why doesn't he use his vampire fangs? Because he's a vampire. Why doesn't he use those, Dan?"
Because he prefers using...
because he's
Bendy
not a
straws.
Vampire.
Oh.
God, this is stupid.
Hey man, you're risking alienating our vampire crowd.
That's true. We really don't want to cut those folks off. They encompass exactly 0% of our listening audience. So she says the cuts are about an inch long. It doesn't take a very deep cut to draw the blood. Katchen makes a cut with a razor blade and then draws out the blood from her shoulders or back with a set of suction cups. Katchen says she has been a black swan for nearly 13 years and has yet to contract an STD or other illness. Vakmil has been drinking blood since the age of 13, and it is a way he gets energy and sexual satisfaction. I know. Ooh, rough stuff here on Banterbox Radio. So, is a quote from him, "Just like a person has a favorite culinary dish, vampires, which I'm not one of," he didn't say, but come on, "vampires have a favorite spiritual culinary dish."
Hot dogs.
That's the one. They feast, they take the blood right out of the hot dog, they just sink their fangs into it. They squirt a little ketchup on it. So I can't take this seriously.
Nor should you.
And he goes on to say, "There are many ways to get energy. This is a more intimate way and is a ritual for vampires. In doing such, we get the energy we need, and the donor has their need to submit, so it's completely consensual." Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This sounds like a parody. This guy is not real. This guy... okay, these two. These two...
yeah.
Folks. Listen, I normally joke about what to take away from articles. The real message, don't be these people, ever. Don't, at any point in your life, any aspect, don't let any of those aspects sync up with this.
Okay.
Okay? Dan, you going to take that to heart?
Oh, yeah. I missed.
You going to go off and be an incense artist?
Yes. Yes, please.
Great. I hear that's it's a big booming industry right now, and if you're a vampire, there. Boom.
My newest scent that I'm working on, it's called Flea Market Stink.
Mm.
It's so good.
That's a very familiar smell. Okay, so we ran a little late, a little long today.
Yeah, anyway, a little bit.
My goodness. People, you had to enjoy, what, almost 4 minutes of extra content today? Woo!
For free.
I had to charge you. Okay, but no.
That was all donated by Milk Chocolate.
That's correct. Milk Chocolate. Our friend, Milk Chocolate.
He's a good friend of the show.
big supporter. Okay, folks. I think we've been ridiculous enough for one night.
Yeah.
We will see you the same time-ish next Tuesday. And, folks, thank you all for listening to the show. And, unfortunately, that's all for this week.
And remember, there is actually a town in Michigan called Hell.
Thanks for joining us.